and the teens may go. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, you may recognize this verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. How many think that's a great plan? The plan of God and all that he wants to give to us. Hope, prosperity. He wants to protect us, give us a future. And we're going to be talking about the future a little bit this morning. And I trust you did have a good Christmas. It's hard to believe that it's come and gone, isn't it? Just like that. And soon 2016 is going to be approaching. And a lot of good things in store for 2016. I know for us personally, yeah. Call me Grandpa, you know. A lot of grandpas coming, right? And but you know, the question always comes up. How can I make next year better? What do I need to do to have a more productive year personally? It's something that we ask ourselves, as people ask themselves all the time. They come close to the new year and they want to know what they can do to make next year better. And one of the things that I think is not emphasized nearly enough in the Christian faith is the leadership of Jesus in the life of a Christian. The leadership of Jesus in the life of a Christian. We talk about Jesus loving us, don't we? We talk about him comforting us. We talk about Jesus providing for us, blessing us, just being with us, his presence with us. But little is mentioned about Jesus actually leading us. And we need the leadership of Jesus, don't we? We desperately need the leadership of Jesus. And really, if you think about this, the coming to Christ, becoming a Christian, is making a commitment to Christ. Really, it's an admission. It's an admission. And the admission is this, is that I've led my life poorly. I'm incapable of leading my life well. And in fact, my sinfulness, it often leads me and has led me on a pathway away from God and not toward God. And when we come to Jesus, what we say is, I'm coming to you, Jesus, and asking you both to save me and to lead me, right? And so, you know, coming to Jesus is this admission that we need the leadership of him. We need his leadership in our lives. How many say, yes, I need it. I desperately need his leadership in my life. And there's no better way to start the new year than being in a new relationship with Jesus, or in a renewed relationship with Christ. And one that's marked by surrender on our parts to his plans. A better start for us for the new year would be to position ourselves to be led more by God. To position ourselves, to posture ourselves to be led more by Jesus. Because his plans for us are personal, aren't they? His plans are for us are much bigger than we could even dream up. And unfortunately, though, we often get in the way. We get in the way of God's best coming to pass in our lives, and we're the ones that become the barriers to entering into a better year for our lives. And we get in the way of what God has in mind for us. And one of the ways that we get in the way is just through our sheer stubbornness. Of course, nobody in this room is stubborn. And we sometimes are too narrowly focused on our own goals. We're too narrowly focused on our own particular dreams for our lives. And, you know, in Jeremiah chapter 7, there's a description of the human heart that you and I can find ourselves very easily in this position. In the prophet Jeremiah chapter 7, he says this. He says, you know, for when I brought your forefathers out of Egypt and spoke to them, I did not just give them commands about burnt offerings and sacrifices, he says. He says, but I gave them a command, obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in all the ways, you know, the prophet God was saying to the Israelites, to the people of God, walk in all of the ways I command you that it may go well with you. But there's a sad commentary after that verse. It says, but they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubborn inclinations of their evil hearts. And then it says this, they went backward and not forward. I find that interesting. They actually went backwards in their relationship with God and not forward. They didn't move on with him, as we've been talking about. And so the reality is the person that gets in the way of God's best for us is us. We get in the way of God's best for us. And how many, you know, each January, people around the country are making resolutions. You probably got a few, right, in your minds. You got a few that you'd like to pursue. We have these resolutions, and everyone has a dream. They have a dream for a better financial future. They got a dream for a better body, right? They have a dream for, well, it's true. They have a dream for better relationships. But what about God's dream for your life? God has some plans for your life. God has some aspirations, you know, for our lives. Jesus wants to lead us into some things, some new spiritual habits, some new maybe adventurous ministry to peoples, maybe some new ways to connect with unchurched people. God, Jesus wants to lead us into some new things. Jesus wants to lead us to discover some new insights and revelation about himself and his nature. I mean, sometimes I feel like I haven't even really tapped into the full nature and character of God. Just like him, just get a small glimpse of who he is and what he's like. And so maybe I think Jesus wants to lead us into new revelation, new understanding, new insights about, hey, this is what God is like. God really is full of love. God really is extravagant. God really does want to pour out on our lives in abundance, not just a little bit. He wants to really pour out some great things in our lives. How many believe? We believe that, don't we? Yeah. And then I think Jesus wants to lead us away from some things. Some things that have been hindering our lives for a long time. He wants to lead us away from some things that are just plain harmful to our souls and even our bodies. I mean, there are some things in our lives that produce more grief and more disappointment and more guilt than actual life. And he wants to lead us away from those things in our lives. And I say, Lord Jesus, lead on. Amen? Lead on. And, you know, we have this resolution thing, and they also say that people have lost their new focus with just 2 weeks into the new year. They've lost their focus. They've lost the resolution with just 2 weeks into the new year. And we have to ask the question, why? And there's, you know, scientists have an answer for that. Scientists say that neural pathways are the culprit. The more that we do repeatedly, the stronger the neural pathways become in our brains. This is a scientific fact. We're actually building ruts and pathways in our brains the more that we do things repeatedly. So let me put it in more simpler terms. Old habits are hard to break. You know that to be true? Old habits are hard to break. Let me give you an example of a positive outcome of neural pathways, okay? Larry Bird. How many know who Larry Bird is? How many don't know who Larry Bird is? I hope we all know who Larry Bird is. All right, Fletcher doesn't know who Larry Bird is. But that's okay, because he's pretty young. Larry Bird distinguished himself as one of, if not the best, passing and shooting forward in the history of the National Basketball Association, bar none. Bird was an all-time, all-star 12 times. He won 3 straight regular season Most Valuable Player awards. 3 straight seasons. He was the NBA Finals MVP 2 times. With Bird, the Celtics won 3 NBA titles and 10 Atlantic Division crowns. Success beyond measure. And as a high school sophomore, Bird discovered how he wanted to spend the rest of his life. You see, he was, as a sophomore in high school, he was recovering from a broken ankle that kept him from playing basketball the entire season. And when his team qualified for the state sectional tournament, his coach made a surprising move, and he put Bird in late in the game. And they were down by a single point, and Bird grabbed a rebound, was fouled, and he went up to the free throw line and calmly sank 2 free throws and won the game. And at that point, he determined that this was the person that he wanted to become. Now, when Bird walked up to the free throw line his sophomore year, he wasn't worried about being rusty after not having played the entire season. Do you know why? Because he trained relentlessly. Bird went to the gym every morning at 6 a.m. He propped himself up on his crutches, and he shot 500 free throws every day during that season. 500 free throws. And I say all that, I tell you all that story, is because he had developed a deep neural pathway so deep that he didn't have to think about shooting. Shooting had become automatic for Larry Bird. It was just a natural reaction. He did not have to think about it. He had developed a positive neural pathway. Now, bad news is we have unhealthy mental and psychological ruts that we've created for decades in our lives, haven't we? It takes a lot of hard work to change the deep ruts that we've developed in our brains, those pathways in our brains, all right? That's the bad news. The good news is this, is that the way to create a new neural pathway is to replace the old daily constant behavior with new daily constant behaviors, right? And when you displace the old habits with new ones, not over a period of 2 weeks, not over a period of a month, but over a period of months, if you continue to displace those old habits with new habits, you will have developed new neural pathways. You will have developed new habits in your life. And here's the thing. We think, okay, I'll just change my mind and I'll change my habits. That's not the way it goes. How many of you just said, okay, I'm just going to wake up one morning and I'm going to just quit eating sweets for the rest of the year? Right? I know you've done it. Right? And, I'm just going to make up my mind that I'm never going to eat any more desserts. Right? No, we think I'll change my mind, I'll develop some new habits. It's actually our habits that change our minds. Our habits change our minds. Aristotle said this, we are what we repeatedly do. And then he went on to say this, excellence then is not an act, but a habit. Excellence is a habit. Excellence comes by doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. And so it's no surprise for us to say good habits bring good results, right? Bad habits bring bad results. Bad results. So if we want to prepare, if we want to plan, if we want to experience the best new year ever, we need to displace the old habits and replace them with new ones. And we're going to talk about that in just a few moments, how we can do that. But I want to just take a step back, backpedal just a step or two and talk about God's plan for our lives. You know, God's plan for our lives is not moralism. It's not just to be a good person. That's not God's really plan for our lives. Mark Twain was reportedly to have said this, church is good people standing in front of good people, teaching them to be good people. But Twain missed the mark completely. That's not at all God's plan. God's plan and God's desire for his followers is not just turning over this new leaf. Because we've all done that, right? We've turned over new leaves, our new page, new year, new story, new life. We know how that works, right? It's not just being a good moral citizen. God's plan involves transformation of our whole life. Our minds changed. Our emotions, our will, our relationships, our decision-making, our speech, our words, our personal finances, our time, our energies, everything about our lives, God wants to transform, wants to change. And the scriptures bear this out. The scriptures repeatedly emphasize God's goal of total change, total transformation. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote this, and we've heard this before, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things, what? Have come. New things have come. And this is what God is all about. The very heart of the Christian faith is a person being given a new life. True? And then the rest of his life is this process of living out the new life and changing and getting rid of some, displacing those old sinful habits, replacing those with new godly habits, new habits that God wants us to lead us into. And that's the whole process. We call that sanctification. And so God is doing that. He's transforming our lives. And I want you also to think about this. Think about a guy, a certain guy, approaching Jesus who needed something in his life. He felt like some change was necessary in his life. We find him in John chapter 3. You know about the man? His name is Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was most likely a very moral, religious man. Nicodemus had his moral act together. And so his paradigm for living was that rules and regulations brought about lasting spiritual change. He thought if I just keep the rules, toe the line, get my ducks in a row, right, then that would bring about in my life some change. But the thing of it was, is Nicodemus was frustrated. And he felt like something was missing in his life. And Jesus informed him of what it was. Jesus informed him of his real need. He didn't need more rules, did he? He needed a new life. He needed to be born again. And so, you know, he needed that new life, and then the process of living that life would follow for him. Paul wrote to the early Christians, to give you some scriptural example of what change means for a Christian. He said, I'm sure of this, Philippians, that he who started a good work in you will complete it on to the completion of Jesus Christ, until the day of Jesus Christ. And so, real change happens the moment of our salvation. How many know that? How many have experienced that change in your life? Amen. At the moment that we become born again, God gives us a new life. But God never intended to end right there. He never intended to stop at that moment. His desire is to work transformation in our lives. Day by day, day by day, God wants us to grow in our knowledge of Him, in our connection with God. And God wants the outflow of our lives to match His character. The outflow of our lives should match His character. And how many know that does that takes a long time? We're still working on it, aren't we? That process is still going on. Because I know if you're like me, you're thinking, oh man, I blew it again. Boy, that's not really reflecting the character of God. What I just said, what I just did, what I just thought. That's not really reflecting God's, you know, character. And so there's a lot of work to be done, isn't there? A lot of work to be done. And here's the thing, God doesn't force anyone to change. But He calls us to it. He calls us to change. He doesn't force us to change. But He calls us to change in every facet of our lives. He wants to have fundamentally changed and conformed to the will of God, to conform to the plan of God that's revealed in the Scriptures. So, that sounds like a tall order. But here's the good news, is that with God's plan, He also gives us the power. Amen? He gives us the empowering. He gives us His Holy Spirit. He gives us the help that we need, the grace that we need, the strength that we need to actually change in our lives. We're not left alone. He actually helps us in this process. So how can we make 2016 a year that we experience God's plans and God's blessings for our lives? How can this coming year be better than last year? I think there's three things that we can do. We can admit and refit and commit. We need to admit, refit, and commit. And I want to talk about this morning. The first thing that we need to do to make this coming year better is, first of all, we just need to admit some things. We need to swallow our pride and our stubbornness and admit that there are things in our lives that do desperately need to be changed. Amen? Maybe for you, it's some attitudes. The Apostle Paul said that we are to be made new in the attitudes of our minds. Now, I've read that a million times, but you know, it just really sunk into me that attitudes play a huge role in our lives, don't they? Attitudes. How many? Well, I'm not going to go there because you've had them, right? We've had attitudes, right? There's all kinds of attitudes we can adopt. There's all kinds of attitudes that we can embrace in our lives. And evidently, it's important to God, or he wouldn't have expressed it in the Scriptures. We're to be made new in the attitudes of our minds, right? And so, and it might be an attitude that you really need to admit, you know what? This is a poor one. I have a poor attitude. Hebrews chapter 4 says that if we let it, the Word of God can penetrate deep into our lives and even target the attitudes of our hearts. That's what the Scripture says. The Scriptures, the Word of God, is powerful enough to penetrate and even to go that deep into the attitudes of our hearts and address those things. And sometimes we keep it at surface level with God. You know, we read the Scripture, we kind of keep it surface level. But God wants, as we read the Bible, as we read the Scriptures, He wants to take it deep to really address the attitudes of our hearts, the attitudes of our lives. And so we need to say, Lord, you can do that. I need change desperately with some of the attitudes that I have. Maybe for you, you have some unhealthy attachments. Maybe you have some addictions. A lot of folks have some really unhealthy habits in their lives that really compromises their freedom, and it really eclipses their love for God. In fact, maybe for some of us, if we have courage, we need to admit that there are some other things that we love more than we love God. There might be some things that we love more than we love God, or love other people, or even love ourselves. There might be some things that we really, really, really love that are causing us some great grief in our lives. And so we need to admit some things. Secondly, we got to admit that our own strength is not enough to change ourselves. Have you tried to change yourself? You know, we might experience partial change, but usually it's short-lived. It doesn't have the substance to really change us over the long haul. But, we need to really admit that we need the strength. We need God's strength in this. It's bigger than us. Sometimes there are some things in our lives that are bigger than us. You know what I mean? Way bigger than us. And so putting it, simply, we need to admit those areas of our lives that we have yet to yield to God's transforming power. We have not given it up. We're trying to gut it out. We're trying to wrestle it out on our own without Him. It's not working in our lives. So we need to admit. As we walk into the new year, it's coming up next week, and we need to admit some things. Secondly, we need to realize that trying doesn't produce change. We need to refit some things in our lives. You know, when we say, "I'm trying," what we usually mean is, "I'm not really doing very well, but I mean well." That's what we mean when we say, "I'm trying." Well, I'm really not doing that great, but I sure do mean well, right? I'm trying. That phrase, "I'm trying," we say it all the time. "I'm trying" is a feel-good phrase to soothe the guilt we feel for not being more disciplined. That's what "I'm trying" does. It just makes us, feel less guilty, if we just say that, right? "Well, I'm trying." Okay, good for you, right? "I'm trying," right? But here's the thing. We'll never nurture our relationship with Jesus just by trying. By trying. By being hit and miss. Strengthening our relationship with God doesn't happen once a week. It doesn't happen two or three times a year. It doesn't happen at Christmas time. It doesn't happen at Easter. You can't just do it once a week. Strengthening our relationship with God doesn't happen once a week. Growing in faith takes daily attention. Daily attention. It takes daily attention. So remember, we change by changing our neural pathways. We create some new rhythms in our lives. We got to create some new rhythms in our lives. And I've talked about this before. We all have developed rhythms in our lives, don't we? We got our little routines. We got our patterns. Some of them are good. Most of them involve coffee, right? But we got these rhythms in our lives. We do the same thing every day. Certain times of day, we have these rhythms in our lives, and some of them are beneficial. Some of them produce absolutely nothing positive whatsoever, right? And if we want to grow, if we agree that God wants us to grow in the faith, then we need to create some new rhythms in our lives. Rhythms of reading our Bible daily, and rhythms of talking to God daily, and rhythms of pausing throughout the day and thanking God in all of our circumstances that we find ourselves in. These rhythms have to change in our lives. And when we refit our lives with some new spiritual rhythms, new spiritual habits, that'll stimulate our faith. We're actually putting ourselves in a better position for God to do something in our lives when we develop these rhythms and we expose ourselves to God's word. We expose ourselves to the presence of God in prayer. We expose ourselves weekly to worship and his presence as he comes and meets with us in worship. As we create this rhythm of being grateful and thankful every day, we pause throughout the day and say, God, thank you for work. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my spouse. Thank you for my health. And if we do these things, right, we're putting ourselves in a position where God says, yes, I can, this is a workable soul. This is a workable person. I can really, really bring about some great things in this person's life, spiritually. And so we need to admit and we need to refit some things in our lives. How many know at least one thing? You know what? I need to refit this in my life. I got to put this in place, get into a rhythm, put myself in a place where I'm really in the presence of God on a daily basis. And then finally, we need to firmly commit to these rhythms in our lives. I like what Mark Galley said. He's an author of the book Chaos and Grace. He said, the Christian life does not just evolve. It also requires specific decisions and public commitments to deepen our faith and obedience. Yeah. It doesn't just happen. And most of us know that, you know. We just don't just, you know, all of a sudden, I just have this great rhythm, great spiritual habit of reading the scriptures every day. It just, poof, I find myself doing it. Every day. That's not the way it works. We've got to make some public commitments. We've got to make some decisions. We have to commit. And if we're going to experience God's plans, if we're going to experience God's dreams for our lives this new year, we have to make an intentional commitment to move forward and not backwards. To move forward. To say, as we said before, you know, some of those things in 2015, I'm just letting those go, God. I'm not going to whine about it. I'm not going to cry about them. I'm going to move forward with you. I want to move forward with you, God. I want to move forward with you. Just say that right now. Just out loud. Just say that. You know, I want to move forward with you, God. And so we have to make that intentional commitment to move forward and not backward. And one of the beauties of the church is this. One of the beauties of the body of Christ is that we can help one another to move forward in our progress in the faith. That's one of the best features of the church is that we can encourage one another. We can hold each other accountable. We can pledge to pray for one another. And I just offer this to you just as I finish out today. If you're considering some new spiritual rhythms in your life, you want to refit your life with some new habits, some really positive spiritual habits, I just encourage you to find someone you trust. Find someone you trust and invite them to keep you accountable. Let's say you want to really be diligent in reading the scriptures and learning about God in the scriptures and just immersing yourself daily, you know, in knowing who God is through the scriptures. And you ask someone, will you keep me accountable weekly, daily if need be? You know, send me a text. Send me an email. Touch base with me on Sunday morning. How's the scripture reading going? How's your times with God in the Word of God? How's it going for you? And find someone that you trust and really invite them to keep you accountable. Amen? Admit, refit, and commit. I think we can remember that. Three things that could really propel us forward in our faith in God this next year, 2016. Kind of hard to Think about it, 2016. Yeah. Admit, refit, and commit. So what do we know for sure? I want to finish with this. We know, one, Jesus has come to lead our lives. Amen? We can be confident in his leadership through the peaks, through the valleys, through the concerns that we have. We can trust in the leadership of Jesus. The second thing is this. Jesus wants to lead us into some good things this new year. And he's got some specific personal things for you that he wants to lead you into. I believe that. I believe that for every one of us, that Jesus has some good things that he wants to lead us into. Amen? And thirdly, whether you've been a Christian for many years or just a few weeks, these three vital steps of admit, refit, and commit will help you to experience a new, a really good, profitable, productive new year. Amen? And I vote for that. How about you? Let's pray. God, we don't want to find ourselves trying. We don't want to just find ourselves trying and giving up some good rhythms that would put us into a good place in our relationship with God. We really want to develop some new habits. And as difficult as it is to change those things, we know that you're bigger. And your power can supply us the ability to refit some things in our lives. And that's what we're asking for. Holy Spirit, come and bring power in our lives. And help us to realize and walk into these plans that you have for us, the good things that you have for our lives. So God, I mean, we know how the drill works, and we know that often little changes, and we'd have to confess, God, we're just tired of that. We want genuine, true, vital change to happen in our lives. And I'm inviting you to come and lead us into that, Lord Jesus. Lead us, Lord. We invite your leadership to come and to lead us. Maybe some of you need to admit some things. You push some things deep down in your recesses of your hearts, and you know that there are some areas of your lives that just, it's not working. And you've yet to really admit your weakness and that you need to change. And if you find yourself being brought up to this place where you need to admit, finally, I just invite you to stand where you're at. And you just, as you stand, it's a posture of confession. Lord, I'm finally being honest about this thing in my life that needs changed. Maybe you find yourself there. Just go ahead and stand. Maybe you need to refit some things. There's some things that you know you really need to develop in your life that would help you in faith. And I just invite you to respond by standing. And there's some things that, yeah, I really want to do this and keep it consistent and daily in my life. I really want to be faithful in some rhythms, spiritual rhythms in my life. I have not been. I'm just so inconsistent. I start things and somebody just starts and fits and just, God help me. I need to really establish some rhythms in my life. Finally, there's this whole thing of really committing, really being all in, really fully embracing that God has some things that we don't know anything about, but we want to put ourselves in a position to receive them. That we want to really walk more with God than we ever walked before. And that this coming year is going to be that year. And we want to commit. I just invite you to stand. Thank you, Jesus. God, we don't know what the plans are that you have for us, but we know they're good. We know that whatever there is in the future, it involves you moving us forward and us being productive and us being blessed by you, God. We know that those plans for the future are full of hope, and that you want to just dispel any fears, hopelessness in us. So, Lord, we just say, come, lead us. Just lead us. Just lead us, Lord. We open our hearts and hands. We just say, lead us, Lord. And we walk away today, Lord, just saying, we want to be led by you. We want to be led by you. More than any other year, God, more than any other time, we want to be led by you. And we look forward, God, to be astounded by all the things that you lead us into. So be a good and good Father to us this year, this coming year. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. Be blessed. Admit. Refit and commit.